Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them which are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not hear, not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Huh? I thought Christ Jesus came to this earth with the chief aim to be to save sinners. And whosoever will may come. And I've been hanging on to that option. In my own good time, he did come to save sinners, whom I am chief, but he ain't gonna save all of them. Price is paid. But some of you, or you, or you, he don't want you. Huh? God doesn't want me? Right. Some of you, he doesn't want. Well, I never heard a preacher say anything like that in my whole life. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Of course, he couldn't be a preacher. He didn't wear a three-piece suit. Let's leave that one alone for a minute. I'm usually in a hurry when I preach, not today. Not in a hurry today at all. Let's try Romans 9 for size. You'd be just as well off to just quit chasing me around. Just leave your Bible open to one place, wherever you opened it. And just write the references in the margin. Check them when you go home. God is the subject, and he saith, verse 15 of Romans 9, he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Huh? I need mercy. And I want mercy, and I've always heard that God is a merciful God. And I drove on the freeway to get to this miserable place today. And don't start out by antagonizing me. I came to get mercy. Well, God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Well, now, I just got here for the service a short time ago, you may say, and I came expecting to be built up. And I don't like the way this message is going right out the gate. Furthermore, I'm not sure I know where you're going. And neither do I. But the Lord does. I ain't used to going to church and not getting what I came for or what I want. I expect to be blessed in my church. There's your starting point of error in your church. And God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's the awfulest thing I ever heard of. I mean, the mercy bit was hard enough, but compassion is something you ought to give to everybody. Right? I mean, the definition of goodness certainly includes compassion. I'm not sure I'll let God be God if he's not compassionate with everybody. Why in the hell else should he exist? You can, I really don't see any sense in God even being allowed to stick around if he can't have compassion on everybody. I mean, I'll give him this. He may exercise his compassion in different ways, but everybody's entitled to a little bit of compassion. Any dumb fool knows that. And since we all know that, we must be dumb fools. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, God says. Well, now the necessary concomitant of that is, I won't have it on those I won't. Now, this message is getting worse. Starting out, some see and don't see, some hear and don't understand because he doesn't want some people to get converted. I never heard of such thing. I've grown up in the church and I've heard preachers all my life. They never told me that. Fifty-eight now. And I thought God was courting me. Wants me to go to dinner with him, he can pick up the tab. What is this? God takes me a little old piddling dinner and thinks he can take me home. I ain't that cheap, friend. You You mean I have to be 58 years old to figure out that God's not the quarter? And that he doesn't want some? No, he can't stand some of you. Bad enough to let you live. Sure doesn't have to spend eternity with you. That there are some who need mercy and he won't give it to them? Some who need compassion and he won't give it to them? I thought being a Christian was presuming that you're God's favorite going out the gate. No matter what you do, God will be there on your side. He'll work it out for you. I can put my hand to the plow and turn loose. That's okay. God just likes plowers, and if you don't like this field, he'll put another plow in your hand, give you another field. Because he's just crazy for plowers. He gets his kicks up in heaven watching you plow. You know, he'll offer you a field, but if it ain't the one you want, doesn't matter. You're not happy in this field. He'll take you out of clay soil. You want sand? Plow. Easier to plow in sand than it is plowing clay. God'd die if I didn't give him these opportunities to let me start plowing over somewhere else in a field of my choice. Can't you see God's God? Quick now. We got to rescue this fella and create a new field for him to plow in. He didn't like Glendale. Really doesn't matter where you plow, friends. A compassionate God can always create a plow to fit the field of your choosing. I'm starting to dislike this message myself. You're going to ruin the fine image I've given you, God. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that by my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You're lucky, Pharaoh. I raised you up so I could beat you to death. Just to show my beating power. No wonder some heretics in the history of the church have decided they didn't like this God and just threw him out and created another one. You look about as shocked as I wanted you to look before I got very far into this. It's a morbid message. In fact, Thomas Jefferson is right. We ought to rewrite this Bible and take some of the stuff out that... Yeah, Pharaoh. I raised you up so I could drown you in the Red Sea. And show my power. But I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, Paul is saying, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now, you remember a few Sundays ago, I started preaching about that which kills the conscientious prophet. He judges the recipients of his message by himself, and because he's one of the lucky ones to whom God's transmitter finds a ready receiver, it's just hard for him to believe that anybody like Jezebel could see what God had done through Elijah and not respond. And he had somehow gotten into his message to the point that when he saw the results on Mount Carmel, and I'm talking of Elijah, and the rain came as a response to his prayer, and the power of God was demonstrated so abundantly from the fire on the mountain to the rain that was falling, and as he ran to Jezreel with Ahab somewhat subdued by the power of God, he was just dead sure Jezebel would say, peace. Didn't make an impact on her at all. And it crushed him as a preacher. We sometimes cannot understand, and you never will understand until you understand this. Why would Moses' great works not result in the conversion of Pharaoh? Because God hardened his heart. Even as the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. You, my friend, are raised up to be a demonstration of God's rejection. Now, I haven't scared anybody with a message in years. That's basically what's wrong with my preaching. It spreads hope. Well, to them that are the called, it is a message of hope. But there's another side to this revelation of God, and I'm on it today. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Why would God find fault then with somebody being bad? If he wills such things. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You're not even allowed to ask that question. See, I think that some of you are starting to figure out where I'm going. I've been preaching it all week to you. I produced a congregation so indulgent in freedom that you have forgotten the other side of the coin. The smart-ass Christian. Well, then if God wills some bad and some good and has compassion on whom he will and none on whom he won't, how can we be to blame for anything? You're not even allowed to ask that question. Huh? Well, I won't serve a God like that. See you later, hard head. You just proved your position. This message has no intention of producing some kind of notepad where you go off and memorize seven rules of Christianity. Your attitudinal fix as this message proceeds, and your attitude when it finishes, is a self-evident demonstration which camp you're in. I produce too many rebels without a cause, other than their own damn self. I've been a rebel all my life, but a tamed one, and one with a cause. To gather a group of people who will recognize they are not their own, they are bought with a price, bond slaves of Jesus Christ, eternity is their hope, and that breath of eternity conditioning every step they take. And I will be damned if I will be associated with any more drag on that commitment that I've had all my life. And if you're too stupid to figure out what the fix is on your pastor's life, then you're too stupid to be a part of this group that I'm shepherd of. Now maybe you know where I'm going. I'm not interested whether anybody likes this message or not. I'm certainly not interested. Some fathead fundamentalist listening for research for a sermon he would memorize. I'm after a sorting out attitude. Feel resentment rising to such an unfair one-sided encroachment into your independence, you're one of the damned. Sit there saying, I like this. You're in safe harbor. Your mind is in mental debate. And you're saying, I don't understand. You're in trouble, man or woman. If you sit there holding that rebellious judgment attitude in abeyance, and like an open cup, are saying, press on, I want to understand. And maybe hope. Thou wilt say and then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Or as he is quoting from Isaiah, shall the clay say to the potter, hey man, do you know who you're working on? I have plans for me, and I only rolled in here as a gob of clay. to give you the privilege of helping me become what I knew I could always be. Wait a minute, God. I ain't your ordinary piece of clay. You can treat these fundamentalists that way, because they have no gray matter in their clay anyway. But this is me. Them rules apply to everybody else. And I have been set free from Jimmy Swaggart's cookie cutter and Jerry Falwell's potato masher to Gene Scott's realm of freedom. Shut up. He don't care what I do. No wonder I love him. He's my pastor. I can do what I want, man. He's bought and paid for. If I do it in his living room, my pastor will turn his head. Thank God I'm free. 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 The hell you are. Tell you who the called are. They don't just hear the call, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is tradition. They also hear the call, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? How many of you know the Word of God says the same word brings life to some and death to others? Well, I thought anything that came from God, like His Word, would only build up and redeem and save. The same light in a room that reveals a gold nugget reveals a spider. And the encounter is the revelation of destiny and purpose. Some have it, some don't. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory? Now we're down to what I've been talking about all week. The calling of God is without recall. And I'm now down to the verse I quoted on TV this week. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If not willingly, nevertheless, a stewardship of the gospel is delivered unto me. which is to say, I am bound. I can create friction by resisting the claim and implement pain and more pain on my life because I resist. Or I can finally quit fighting it and yield to the force of God's will on my life and go with it willingly rather than strugglingly. Same message to you, friend.